This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Harun Chambel.
Like pearls hidden deep beneath the dark stream of desires. But like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Thank you and welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we're going to be spending some time with Mustafa Abdul Khabir. He's been a Muslim of some 14 years now. So without any further ado, we'd like to introduce him by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Let's get started, Brother Mustafa, in answering, I guess, the quick question in why it is that you chose Islam.
Coming to a point where I wanted to know the truth as it pertains to God, spirituality, and Islam is where that led me.
All right. So how did this all start for you? Where did this journey begin?
The journey to wanting to know the truth began when I was about 17. Mm. I went through a lot of different things in my life, you know what I mean? Some more tragic than others, you know, with the loss of my father and other, you know, issues growing up in the inner city, getting involved in a lot of crazy things and doing a lot of bad things that, you know, I kind of came to a crossroads where I would either get a lot worse or I would get better.
What do you...
So I decided that I would try to pursue some understanding, you know, of God, you know, spirituality, you know, responsibility, because that seemed to be the only thing that I had not done thus far.
All right. I mean, okay. In terms of talking about the crossroads that you went through, there's so many people in the world today, for not just alone in America, but in the world today, where they're faced with the same situation, and a lot of those people choose to just kind of either go the wrong route or continue staying in that kind of situation without looking for some kind of guidance or trying to make their life more positive. What do you think it was, Yanni, for you that sent a little spark in your heart or in your soul that caused you to do differently than that, to go against the grain of just doing what everybody else was doing?
I guess that's a very interesting and at the same time difficult question. I think that one thing that a brother once told me that I held very dear, his name was Umar Ali Bey, may Allah have mercy on his soul. Mm-hmm. That was that a 100% dissatisfaction brings about change. I think that for myself, it kind of centered around that, being dissatisfied with the direction that I was going, or the direction that I had been in, and really wanting or feeling that there was more for me or better things for me to do in life. The only thing that I had not understood was God. You know, it was not something that played a part in my life. My family, everyone in my family is Christian. You know, they're Baptist.
Right.
And they're very into the church. Many of my aunts and are ministers. My grandmother's a minister. But you're growing up into a lot of hypocrisy of people telling you don't do bad things, do good things, and not just people that have some type of religious affiliation, but just adults in general. And but yet they were doing things that was contradictory to the model in which they were attempting to give me. So that I rebelled against it. I really didn't want to. That kind of, you know, allowed me not to focus to do better things. It kind of gave me fuel to continue to do the things that I was doing. So when I got to my crossroad was that, okay, the only thing I have not done was really understand about God. And at that time, I thought God was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I began to want to study and read so that I can understand, so I can either prove or disprove, you know, the legitimacy of this. Unfortunately, even now, I realize in my life that some of us create alternate realities for ourselves. Some of us begin to define a life and then make everything that we hold dear applicable to that lifestyle we want to live. And I just didn't want to do that. If I was going to be spiritual, if I was going to be godly, then it would have to be real. It could not be fake. So
where did this awakening, where was the first step on this path? What did it lead you to?
Unfortunately, due to a lot of things that I had gotten involved in, the first interaction or step that I took was as a consequence of being incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
I was incarcerated and sent to an adult facility as a juvenile, is what they call being bound over.
Mm.
I was bound over to an adult facility where, you know, I was by far the youngest of the inmates there. When I first got there, I just happened to see some Muslims that were, one of them was actually working for the facility, and another one was actually, you know, also incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, what they did was foreign to me. And watching them embrace each other, the language that they would speak, things of this sort. And you had a program that we were actually in a locked facility, in a locked box, which you call a room, for 23 hours a day.
Mm.
You, that 1 hour you got out was for phone calls, showers, things of this sort.
Mm.
So you had an option if you wanted to get out extra was to go to religious services.
Mm.
So, you know, since I saw that it was of some interest, I used that as an excuse to get more time out of the cell.
Mm.
Upon, you know, watching the brothers interact, hearing them call the Iqama and the Adhan, it was something that I had never seen before and was very foreign to me, for that matter. So when they shipped us to the next facility that you would just basically do your time in, I seen them do it again, and I began to ask questions.
Okay, now, do you think it was the most? I mean, because I'm hearing you with this, and I'm feeling you on it. Is do you really feel that the thing that drew you most towards them in turn was curiosity based upon the foreignness of what you saw initially?
No. To be honest with you, if I had to pull out one thing, there was one brother that I don't even know his name. And this individual, before I understood, went to the actual service, this individual was someone who, in the world of, I guess if you want to say the world of crime and violence, was considered to be in the upper echelon, you know what I mean? Someone that was like a legend, sort of.
Right.
And this particular person was a very bad person.
Mm.
And this individual had changed their life around in the facility and became Muslim.
Right.
I didn't know this individual, and all I knew about is the bad things. Well, this was one of the people that I saw there the first time that I went to just to get out my cell.
Mm.
So when I seen this individual there and seen how they interact, it was an instant brotherhood. Everybody embraced each other.
Mm.
Everybody, it was a form of cooperation. There was no arguments or debates. They function as a unit. I watched them line up, and they all did the same thing the same way.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think that's really what initially caught my interest.
All right. Hold that thought for a second. We got to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening from Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great, the Creator.
Welcome back to From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Mustafa for the first segment of today's show, and we're going to pick up where we left off. I'd like to ask you, Mustafa, when you actually started getting into meeting up with these Muslims that you had met in when you were incarcerated, what was some of the first dialogue that you had with them?
I guess for starters, they were real sticklers on I would say self-respect. I'll use the term self-respect. Mm. And what I mean by that is that in that type of environment, you would assume that everybody had a certain kind of mentality because they allowed themselves to be incarcerated.
Right.
A lot of people did, there was a lot of bad things going on in an environment like that, of course. So with the Muslims, some of the first dialogues was that of character, you know what I mean, of faith. And that would be transferred in the fact that they would wear their kufis. They wore other things that identified them for who they were. Hmm. They kept it together. They kept well-groomed, which is also not common in an environment like that. Outside of being well-groomed, and why I'm speaking on that is because I didn't have interaction with my family for different reasons, and what ended up happening was I didn't have proper toiletries. Mm. When I first got to the main facility. And just because I had asked a Muslim a question about Islam, because they were hugging each other and they had said some things in Arabic that I didn't understand.
Mm.
So I had asked him what it was that they were saying, and as he explained it to me, he asked me, was I okay and did I have everything, because he knew that we had just came in. And I told him that not really, but I would be okay. He was kind of tart with me and said, that's not what I'm asking you. Do you have everything? Well, I said, no. The next thing I know, he necessarily didn't say anything else. I guess he found out my institutional number and other things from someone else. And he came in with their imam and had a box of all the toiletries that I would need.
Mm.
And they gave me everything, and then, you know, it was quite a bit of stuff. And I told them that I didn't have anything to pay them in return, and they were specific in letting me know that they didn't ask for anything. And they didn't interact with me. They didn't seek me out or try to recruit you or anything.
Yeah.
They just they did that.
They were just doing it for the sake of doing something good.
That's right.
All right. So as your relationship with these brothers continued, and you started to learn a bit more about Islam, what was the first thing really that you learned about Islam that stood out to you?
I guess to be honest with you, at first the first thing happened was I had looked into a Quran, and when I first opened it up, I couldn't understand any words in it. It was truly somewhat like a foreign language to me. You know, even the English.
Mm.
I could not make it out, so I've tried to read a few lines, and I didn't open it back up for some time.
Mm.
I began to interact with the brothers and ask questions, and some of the first things that they were talking about was the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, and what he had accomplished.
Mm.
His character, his motto, historical references that began to be very intriguing, because it almost seemed, or it does seem, that the history of the world was kind of the history of Islam.
Mm.
And so they began to educate me on that, and his revelation being more of a humanitarian one than a nationalistic one, because there were other indigenous African Americans, somewhat or referred to as religions, that had different ideologies. So the initial thing they began to talk to me about was the prophet and what he had accomplished and what his mission was.
How did that affect you?
It was deep for me, because all the men that I had known previous to these interactions beginning, were their strength was based on their brawn, and it had nothing to do with God.
There's basically a thing of like being feared more than being loved.
Correct.
And how, so did that, did you kind of, was, so this being something that was new in terms of having a figure that carried himself in that way, did aside from just like having this different kind of model in front of you than what you were used to, did it affect you in any other kind of way?
Just, it began to get, to want me to, be intriguing enough for me to just want to find out, you know, the legit, you know, I guess you want to say the legitimacy of the existence of these things that were being said to me.
Right.
More, and that's kind of how it affected me. It was like, if this is what the case, you know what I'm saying, and this is the situation, then I've been living my life in some other world, you know what I mean? I need to find out, I need to try to cross-reference this, I need to find truth or and or fallacies. Because it was basically, it made me feel like, you know, almost like living a lie.
Yeah. So, how long did you continue studying before you became Muslim?
I actually studied for, to be honest with you, I think that maybe about 90 days, actually. But those 90 days seemed like they were like 5 years.
Wow. Did you find, now let me ask you this, like when you first embraced Islam, you were still incarcerated, right?
Yes.
Did you, like, your embracing of Islam at that time, was it one where you felt like it was purely just sake because you felt like it was a truth? Or was it because of the kind of, like, unity that you saw there as well? You know what I'm saying?
I actually, when I say, I studied, and when I studied, it may have been, you have what they call counts, and between the times and meals and things, the way it's regimented in the environment like that.
Right.
Well, I made studying was more or less my job at that particular point. I studied hour upon hours, you know what I mean, and I studied books. After talking to the Muslims, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Mm.
I began to read the Professor Masood Hassan's works on the two-volume works on the history of Islam.
Hmm.
I began to read the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim and the Sirah. So I began to study. Then I began to study other things at the same time, you know, trying to make heads or tails. So
right.
Maybe 6 to 8 hours a day I continued to study.
Right.
And between that 90 days, I kind of a few times veered off into some other things because it seemed like they were just as important. Some organizations that had their own religious beliefs or that's considered religions, and they have these secrets and sciences and things of this sort, and I began to want to, you know, endeavor or read or understand those things, and the more I studied, it came back to one point, you know, and that what they all lacked was the responsibility that Allah had ordained, you know what I'm saying, of his servants, and that's to worship him and to be responsible for the actions. So at the end of that time, you know, that's what I the understanding that I had came to.
So it was like a clearly thought out process where you just like the moment that you took Shahada, you knew like without doubt, this is it.
Not without doubt. Many times I talk to people that maybe new Muslims or people that have been Muslim and may have some problems in maintaining, you know, the content of their deen, and the beauty of Islam doesn't come in, you know, the rituals. The beauty of Islam is something that I feel it has to be given to you. It's an understanding or a point that you come to.
Mm.
And for me, that I found the beauty of Islam in an environment like that. When you understood what Maghrib was, and you can look out on the horizon and see it when it comes in, and it has a specific a purpose and benefit for you. And then you go through that ritual with a group of brothers, even the millions that you don't see that you know are partaking in that in the same way at the same time. It was beautiful. So when I took Shahada, I was very clear in understanding, the beauty that Allah had to offer.
Alhamdulillah. We're going to have to step away for another break for our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
Every day, new friends are made, and old friends are drawn closer. And from time to time, friends fall in love. If it's true love, the kind that stands the test of time, then everyone celebrates. Marriage, it's worth waiting for. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years.
Welcome back to From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Harun Chambela of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We'd like to pick up this last segment with Brother Mustafa where we left off. It's intriguing the amount of good that I've found in a lot of brothers that have made positive out of a negative situation. And from what little we've talked today so far, it seems like you're one of those individuals that has made. Allah has blessed you to make a very positive situation out of one that was negative. I think I'd like to start out the last segment, and I'd like to ask you, basically, since you have become Muslim, what has been the greatest hardship for you, or the greatest test or difficulty or obstacle, I should say?
Going back to establishing and staying focused on the beauty of Islam, not on the beauty of it. What happens is that once you become Muslim and you begin to interact with people, sometimes it's difficult for people to psychologically transcend beyond the issues of the perfections of mankind and the perfections of this deen. Once you are Muslim for a period of time, you begin to interact with people and you begin to see their strengths and their weaknesses. You interact with people that are just as normal in the idiosyncrasy that they had as the people did prior to you having knowledge of deen. Sometimes that takes people away from that spirituality that brought them to Islam and begins to make them either create another kind of reality for themselves or desensitize them to following the Sharia and the regulations and prohibitions that Allah set up for us. So I think that's the biggest obstacle for myself. I think that alhamdulillah, I stay focused on who I am and what's expected of me, so it constantly makes you have to go through the changing the content of who you are, fixing your own problems or idiosyncrasies or changing bad habits that you may have. So staying focused on that makes you a little more humble when you interact with other people with problems, because you know what you're going through and what it's taking you to overcome it.
In a culture where a person is pretty much left free to do whatever, what kinds of activities or exercises, spiritually, physically, or otherwise, have you been doing that has helped you to maintain that kind of focus?
I deal with a lot in martial arts instruction. I teach a lot, and teaching for different bases or reasons. But throughout a physical regimented training on one aspect, it's also a way for people to do some soul searching. It has a component of that. Because when you find obstacles that seem too hard to overcome, and you continue to fight to overcome those obstacles, when if Allah blesses you to be successful, then you have elevated yourself beyond the level of the being victimized by the anxieties that you felt before. So the rigorous that form of training has helped me a lot. And the other is zikr. I think that the more that I zikr and keep Allah mindful, that you, it's like people who sing songs. You know, if you listen to a song for so long, it begins to tap into your subconscious, and you'll mimic the lyrics, you know, throughout the day. Mm. Well, I use that same thing for zikr. If you listen to zikr, if you listen to Quran, you could be in a conversation. Your mind could be anywhere, and that's what's going to pop up. You're going to be repeating the ayah. You're going to repeat the zikr. It's just like music. It'll be like music in your head.
So we have just a few minutes left, and I'd like to, about a minute and a half left before we have to close up here. I'd like to ask you, in closing, what kind of advice you can impart upon us.
Repeat the question, please.
I wanted to ask you what kind of advice you could impart upon us before we close.
I think that the greatest advice or that we can benefit from at this particular point is to establish the necessary a regimen within our lifestyles that would allow us to not only keep mindful of Allah, but strengthen ties in our brotherhood. The things that we've been victimized by all over the world has been through more of a divide and conquer situation. If we band together under the auspices of Allah, which is the greatest thing that any group of creation could band together for, we would begin to solidify ourselves on the right principles. And inshallah, that Allah's mercy will far extend His wrath on us as a whole, and that we will be successful and not be tormented or persecuted.
Well, with that, we thank you for joining us. We hope, inshallah, that in the near future we can have you on the show again so we can pick your brains for some more details and some more remembrance.
I appreciate it, Akhi.
Alhamdulillah. We, in closing, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this this conversation and this gathering, that He gives us success in it and by it and through it and with it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all in overcoming those obstacles that are in our lives that are keeping us away from establishing a connection to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success in this life and in the hereafter, and to protect us all, ourselves, our families, our offspring, our progeny, all the way till the day of judgment, from the torment of the hellfire and from the torment of the evil of this worldly life, and to bless us with the good of this worldly life and of the hereafter.
Amen.
With that, I mean, we close by saying, for all those people who were listening today that are not people of faith, remember that it's never too late. And for those people who are people of faith, we end by saying, Assalamu alaikum. Please join us next time for another episode of From Darkness to Light.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.